Recording has started.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the BC Members Call on Wednesday, January 23rd, 2019. In the interest of time, attendance will be taken via the Adobe Connect room in the phone bridge. I would like to remind all participants to please state your name before speaking for the transcript and keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid background noise. With this, I'd like to turn it over to our BC Chair, Claudia, to begin. Claudia, please go ahead.
Hi, Chantal, and welcome everybody to the BC call. In the interest of time, I will leave the floor to Steve for the policy calendar.
Thanks, Claudia. Steve Del Bianco here. Chantal is going to load the policy calendar. I sent this email around yesterday to all of you. If you didn't receive it, email me during the call and I'll send it again. We've only had one public comment filed since our last BC member call, and we filed that yesterday. It was a comment on a supplemental initial report issued by the Policy Development Process Group, or PDP group, who's looking at the next round of GTLDs and what kind of procedures should be used in GNSO, particularly for top-level domain names. And there's a subgroup called WorkTrack 5 that's looking only at the geographical top-level domains to the right of the dot. That was, it turned out, a rather controversial part of the last round. A lot of you know of .Patagonia, .Amazon, it was .Spa, and a handful of other domain names at the top level, which had geographical significance, but didn't necessarily involve a clear geographical term for the guidebook. I wanted to thank a handful of volunteers led by Staten Hammock, but Andrew Mack, Vivek was fantastic help, so was Chris Wilson in Maryland. I worked with all of them over the past couple of weeks on a very challenging comment. And that's the one we filed yesterday. It was challenging because there were as many as 80 different questions, proposed recommendations, and proposals that we tried to comment on. That was filed, and thanks again. I also want to thank Vivek in particular, who volunteered to fill the long empty spot of the BC representative on the PDP for subsequent procedures. So Vivek, Chantel is assisting in getting you on the official email list for that PDP, and you'll probably then begin to get emails on that that will target either WorkTrack 5 or the other tracks that are in there. So we look to Vivek to give us some reports on how those PDPs are going. Let me turn to the open public comments. There are 7 open right now, and I'm really pleased and proud of you all because 5 of the 7, we already have volunteers at work on the comment. And that's a fantastic testament to the volunteer nature of this group. Any of you who look at these comments that already have volunteers, this is a great opportunity to respond to the email I circulated earlier where I included the volunteers, but we are happy to have other folks volunteer to join these drafting teams in advance of them circulating a draft to the full BC, which we'll always do with 7 days to spare before the comment period closes. The two comments that we do need a volunteer on are number 5, which is the amendment to the IANA naming functions contract. As you know, that when the U.S. did the IANA transition, ICANN has set up multiple entities inside of ICANN, and they have a contract under the IANA naming functions. There's an opportunity to comment on amendments that are being proposed. Do we have any volunteers in the BC who might want to sign up for that? This is number 5 on the list on the screen in front of you. IANA functions. All right, I'll dig into the archives of where we commented last time on this contract and see whether that could be used to entice someone to step back up. The other one we need a volunteer on is number 7. It's an initial report that was just issued on the Customer Standing Committee. Again, this was created as a result of the transition. The customers of the IANA functions, the registrars and registries, have a standing committee that evaluates whether the IANA functions are being performed in a way that is satisfactory to customer demands. So there's a report on the effectiveness of that committee. Those comments don't close until the end of February, so we'll have some time to gather volunteers on that. I then have a section in here in the report where we list the ongoing saga of trying to modify ICANN's WHOIS policies and contracts to comply with GDPR while preserving the ability of using WHOIS to prevent fraud and abuse. That is an ongoing struggle. And since we have Margie, if Margie is still on the line, thank you, John Berard, for volunteering on that. Margie, while you're still on the line, let me ask you to report on the tempest in Toronto last week, where you and Mark attended.
Hey, Steve, it's Margie, and I'm sorry, I'm going to be driving, so it might be hard for me to say much. Perhaps you can elaborate. But I did send to the BC list the latest draft of the final report. We're on schedule to file the report on February 1st. And unfortunately, what we've done is essentially defer to phase two a lot of issues that are important to the BC, just because of the timing. There's very much a mindset in the EPDP group that that in order to make the May 31st, end of May deadline, that the report has to get published by by February 1st in order to enable the public comment and other things necessary to get the policy adopted. It was a pretty tough week. We worked hard with our colleagues, both on the ITC, the ALAC, the GAC, to try to push on issues that are important to the BC. Made some traction, some not. Steve, I suggest probably the best thing to do is to perhaps set up a separate call with those interested in going issue by issue to work through the compromises and get a better understanding of where we landed. But with that, I got to start driving. So, Steve, I'll hand it back to you.
Thanks, Margie. I hope you can stay on the line to listen to this, though. I am interested to know what you think, and you, Mark, think the next step will be. Will there be a broad consensus call for the full final draft, where there will be separate consensus call for each recommendation proposal? And do you think there is still time to make significant edits to the final report? And I know you're driving, so if you can't handle that, I'll understand.
The issue of consensus hasn't been agreed on yet, and so there's different takes on what consensus should be and whether it's a issue-by-issue perspective or the whole report. So we really don't know. In Toronto, we weren't making official consensus calls, but they were taking pulse of the group, kind of instant polls, if you will. So I don't believe Kirk and staff have given us a clear direction on what that means. But the one thing I wanted to share with the BC was that there are folks, especially in the non-commercial stakeholder group, that were trying to minimize the influence of the BC members by essentially saying that if it wouldn't pass under the GNSO voting threshold at council level, that we wouldn't be able to essentially affect the consensus vote. And fortunately, Alex Deakin and others, ALAC and myself, were able to at least share an alternative view on how to determine consensus, meaning that you do look at the various constituencies and not just focus at the high level at the supporting organization level. And I believe that view gained some traction, which is why I think we were able to effectively make arguments in Toronto that were supported by the ALAC and the GAC and sometimes the SAC. So, Steve, I don't know what your perspective is on that issue, but at the moment it's really not clear how the consensus vote will take place. And then some things are open for discussion, things where we didn't reach firm agreement on. Others are not, and I think the document I circulated with you that staff created is color-coded. So there are some areas where we could still impact the final language, other areas where it's probably not likely because of the fact that that it was a carefully crafted compromise.
Margie, thanks for that update. We're going to turn to Mark next, our other representative on the EPDP. I did want to note that the council rules for voting exclude the votes of ALAC, GAC, and SAC, who are parts of this EPDP. And if they register views that align with the BC and IPC, while that may not influence a council vote, it'll be very evident to the board. When council makes a recommendation that ignores the votes not just of the BC and IPC, but the GAC, ALAC, and SAC, we have a much better chance of getting the board to put its stamp on any proposals, recommendations that come through. The key, though, is for us to get the GAC, SAC, and ALAC to consolidate and articulate the positions that they have in a way that when it comes to consensus call votes, that they show that there are five groups, not just one or two, five groups on the PDP that don't agree with where the NCSG and contract parties want to drive this thing. Mark, I'll turn to you next to give your perspectives on your time in Toronto.
Thanks, Steve. This is Mark. Well, one of the things that surprised me was, and Margie could confirm or deny, I guess, I perceived a new willingness of the contracted parties to work with us on some things. In the past, they've always held us at arm's length, and their perspective had been, let's redact everything, it will be the best path to success. And now I think there's a growing awareness of what that would actually mean in terms of their own costs, that simply redacting things isn't a magic solution because you're going to start getting requests and you'll have the staff to deal with those requests. I was talking to Alan Woods from Donuts. He's the only person in Donuts who's authorized to make disclosure, give permission for disclosures. And he's starting to think about now, what will that mean? What's the volume going to be? He doesn't know. Will he have to staff up? He doesn't know. So it seemed like they were more willing to play with us. I think the moderation was pretty good. There were some, some wrinkles to it. Sometimes they were a little inconsistent, but I don't think it was ever. In previous times, the moderation, I think, has been not always in our favor. I think it was more in our favor this time, so that was good. Milton became very upset at one point, and during a break, he harangued the moderators for like a solid 10 minutes, although this was immediately following me laughing in his face about some stupid proposal he had made. So, he was wound up at that point anyway. I think most of the compromises we made were pretty good. There were a lot of things that, we were not going to get, and I think where we landed was reasonable given the circumstances. So I thought it was a mostly successful meeting, exhausting, but pretty good.
Thank you, Mark and Margie, for all the work you put in, all the travel and hours that it's taking to do this. I'll note that these disclosure requests, the one you just described, they will be with us, with or without a unified access model. Not everybody would ever qualify to be an accredited party under UAM, so we'll always have to have the ability for our registrars and registries to honor disclosure requests under GDPR 6.1F. So I think we're making some progress on that. Alex Deacon has been a huge help to move that along. And I did note on the list this morning that the NCSG is taking note of the fact that ICANN org is driving us toward having a unified access model for accredited entities that get required responses from registrars. And Stephanie Perrin is very nervous about that and registered her concerns today on the list because that is taking things to ICANN org, its legal team, and the technical study group that's currently determining how RDAP could be used if we should ever arrive at a model where accredited entities get blessings from the data protection administrators. And ICANN can then require the registrars to respond. That's all in phase two of the EPDP, but it's in phase one of what ICANN org is doing right now. That's all I had for policy calendar for public comments. Are there any questions for Mark? Channel two on this agenda, which I'll scroll to right now, covers what council is doing. There hasn't been a council meeting since our last call. Their last council meeting we discussed on our previous call. The next council meeting is tomorrow, the 24th of January. Now, neither Marie nor Scott could be on today's call, so I briefly summarize what's on the agenda right now. There are no motions on the council agenda, but there are three discussion items I wanted you to be aware of. They're going to discuss whether council is going to file its own comment on three open public comment periods. They're going to discuss backup plans in case the EPDP were to fail, and they're going to discuss leadership of council had a proposal for what to do on the IGO and INGO. That's the intergovernmental organization and international non-governmental organizations. With that, I'd like to turn it over to Barbara Warner to cover Channel 3, which is the work we do for the CSG or Commercial Stakeholders Group. Barbara, I've scrolled your section up to the screen. Take it away.
Okay, thanks a lot, Steve. Basically, again, we're focusing on preparations for the CSG meetings in Kobe, and I come back to you again for your thoughts and inputs concerning questions that we might propose, particularly to the board and our joint meeting with them and the other CSG constituencies in our meetings with Becky and Matthew, and in particular, how we want to focus our meeting with the contracted party house. A couple things came to the fore in our call yesterday, our CSGXCOM call yesterday, one of them being that we did agree that we would continue the format that we've done in the past several ICANN meetings of devoting the first 40 to 45 minutes of our meeting with the board to sort of a combined CSG engagement with the board, focusing on EPDP and the Uniform Access Model. The last time around, we were kind of had our wrist slapped because we asked too many duplicative. We seemed to be asking questions for the sake of posing questions. So we can go about this in a couple of ways. You can email me the questions that you feel we should address in that 45-minute session with the board focusing on the EPDP and UAM, and we can convene a conference call, perhaps involving CSG representatives on the EPDP to determine how to streamline and make those questions more coherent, or you can leave that task to the CSG XCOM. We will convene again on the 12th for the express purpose of making sure that we've developed a set of coherent questions for the board that isn't duplicative among the constituencies. I've also proposed specific BC topics to raise with them during the 15 minutes that we will have to engage separately with the board. If you have any better ideas or would like to elaborate on what I've proposed, again, please contact me directly. If you feel that we aren't making appropriate use of these opportunities for engagement, not only with the board, but with Joran and Xavier in our CSG open meeting, then really I invite you right now to step up and offer your thoughts as to what topics we should cover. What I've provided is really for the purpose of kind of getting the wheels going, getting the wheels in motion and perhaps stimulating people's thinking. But if you feel that we haven't made good use of that time, then now is your time to step up and provide alternative questions for us to consider. Finally, Shireen has asked all of the SOs and ACs to give thought to a couple of different questions, and Steve has included them as bullet points on the last page of the policy calendar. And he wants all of the SO and ACs to go to Kobe prepared to offer four suggestions, three concerning what the board, ICANN org, and the community should do to prepare for successful implementation of strategic plans, financial planning, and so forth. And then, how ICANN might reach out to form alliances and partnerships with other organizations in pursuit of some of those strategic objectives. So I need your thoughts on how we might address those questions, because we're going to be expected to step up and offer them at Kobe. I have a couple of ideas, and I'm willing to share them with the group. So, Steve, if it's okay with you, why don't I just do a separate follow-up email to BC Private focusing on these two bullet points? I'll propose my thinking on how we might address one of these bullets, and then invite comments from everyone else. How do people feel about that? Okay, Steve says good. Then that's it for my report. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara. That's it for the policy calendar. Marilyn Kay, do you have a question? Cannot hear you, Marilyn.
You can now.
We do now.
Thanks. Barbara, thank you so much for this. Marilyn Kate speaking. When I read this, what occurred to me is the challenges that ICANN is receiving from, in particular, the contracted parties questioning their engagement, and from in the NCSG as well, which I'm seeing in the GNSOSO budget working group from Aiden in particular, significant challenges about why ICANN is engaging with external entities. And I will just mention a couple that I think present significant threats to ICANN if we're not engaged as ICANN, and that is the ITU, but also maybe too much focus on the ITU and not enough positive engagement in UNESCO and in UNCTAD, but also keeping a careful, watchful eye on what's going on at the UN on the cybersecurity area. Do you have any hint for, you know, what does this seem to be the direction that they're concerned about, or are they concerned about trying to re-strengthen their relationship with other groups such as ISOC, IETF, et cetera?
You know, Marilyn, I have no idea. You know, this just came from Shireen, and then Chantel very kindly forwarded it to us. I had the same thought as you concerning the importance of continuing to engage at the ITU. I think some the point you make about the other organizations also is important, and particularly at the UN General Assembly, which, of course, is Veni's remit to cover developments up there pertaining to cybersecurity. So I would encourage us to continue to make those points. I have no idea how to read this. This is exactly what came from the board. So I'm taking it at face value. If you feel that we should also make mention of the importance of continuing to work with ISOC and IETF and so forth, we can certainly add that too. But I would, you know, I think we should address this as broadly as we want to. It's just my thought. Also, too, Jimson did our supplementary budget proposal concerning GAC CSG meetings. I know he'll talk about that in his segment, but I just thought I'd mention that. Thank you.
And no other questions or hands up, so we'll go to Claudia to pick up the agenda.
Thank you very much, Steve. And I wanted to mention a couple of items. And first of all, our BC open meeting, because we haven't fixed a speaker. So I just wanted to ask the group to send both to Chantel and to myself names of people that we want to be inviting at our BC open meeting, knowing that we are inviting Xavier and Goran also at the CSG open meeting. So please get that to us, otherwise we will go ahead with our thinking. Second thing, we have issued last week the request for interest for budget allowance to attend COBE. In fact, what happened is that the ExCom realized that we had earmarked $7,000 US dollars for outreach meeting in Kobe, but finally we are organizing two outreach meetings that later on Jimson will be describing, but we are not using much of this funding because everything is being sponsored by ICANN and other associations. So we put those money at the service of the membership, and we received some application, and ExCom will be taking a decision probably today, and we will be communicating that to the group as soon as possible. with that. I don't know. I'm not on the Adobe chat, so I cannot see if there are hands up or questions. So, Chantel, please tell it to me. But otherwise, if there are no questions, I would then leave the floor to Jimson.
Okay. Thank you very much, Claudia. This is Jimson speaking. It's my pleasure to first and foremost welcome a new member, Governance Pioneer. Governance Pioneer is based in Brazil and is going to be represented by Mark Adesigo. So, Mark, you've always been with us and we're happy that you are here now as an entity. Yourself, so you're most welcome. And secondly, talking about the ICANN 64 outreach of the BC, yes, for the first time, BC will be organizing two important outreaches in Japan during ICANN 64. As the chair mentioned, we have outreach planned for Tokyo and also for Kobe. That of Tokyo will be coming up on March 8th. And an expression of interest has gone out for prospective participants, members that are willing to be there to express interest in receiving funding to aid their presence and participation. So, it closed yesterday, so we'll be discussing the details today, as Claudia mentioned. With regard to the details of planning, the outreach chair is with us, so I'm going to yield to Marilyn to give us more details, up-to-date information about the planning for the Tokyo event, and also for the Kobe event on the 13th. Raymond, over to you.
Thank you, Jimson. Well, first of all, I really want to thank everyone who has contributed so far to helping us to put this plan together. We've gone quite a long way, including starting out with thinking we wouldn't have sufficient attendance to stop in Tokyo, but we've been very fortunate, and I'm very, very pleased that through the strong support of yourself and Claudia and Steve and your, and also Microsoft through indications of interest as well as others, we have a partnership with Kato-san, who will be featured as an respondent in the BC newsletter. Kato was with Fujitsu when we worked together as industry to found the BC, and he had stepped up along with Yumi, who is the liaison from JPNIC, to helping us to organize a several-hour event at extremely low cost to us. We are being hosted by JACE, which is a Japanese association that focuses on innovation and technology issues. Fujitsu CTO will himself speak at the event and kick off. We have a revision. We have where most of the cost is being borne by ICANN and by JACE, which is very fortunate to us. There will be a several-hour event in the afternoon on the 8th. And right now we have a speaker from ICANN, John Crane, as well as a segment that will be chaired by Claudia. And we just have a new proposal in from Yumi and Jake, proposing that they take a 60-minute session to present issues of concern to Japanese business, which will be a great learning opportunity for all of us and also helps to justify why they're bringing their members together with us. In order to travel to Tokyo, I will post again to the list, but just for those of you interested, you can choose multiple destinations so that you fly into Tokyo, take the train from Narita Airport into Tokyo proper. We are getting the name of a hotel close to the site recommended by the organizer that BC members might be interested in staying at the same hotel. We'll have a luncheon preparation session, and then we'll go to the session. We do have an opportunity, as I said, and we have one volunteer already from Microsoft to join Claudia and Steve in providing brief comments. Then we will have the reception, and then we will be able to take a late evening train to travel to Kobe. The cost of the train is about $138 to take the train to Kobe. Then you can fly out of Kobe direct back to your location. So for those of you who are interested and willing to make that stopover, just an FYI that it is feasible to do within the logistic planning in Kobe. We are partnering with the ISPCP. Claudia and I had a planning call with Chris Mondini and the leadership of the ISPCP. That event is on Wednesday afternoon. It is at a location nearby to the venue. It's not at the venue. We have our own 30 to 45-minute segment, which will have introductory comments from Kato, just 3 minutes introducing why business believes that ICANN is important. He's asked me to draft his comments. I've already given him an initial draft, and then the panel would include two speakers from the BC on the topic that the ISPCP is very supportive of is the issue of security, stability, and resiliency. They will provide one speaker, and we can provide two speakers. Then we will have an opportunity for brief comments from Claudia as our chair, and also from Steve as our vice chair for policy, reinforcing the importance of the particular areas that we focus on. And then we will extend an invitation of interest for those attending to consider membership in the BC. The attendees, there'll be about 100 to 115 attendees. They are, this is because a particular association has relocated their membership meeting to Kobe. So it gives us an opportunity to engage with a few of the attendees who will be qualified to become BC members, as well as with association staff. And we also will be have as special guest at the reception the officers of the Japan IGF, which includes a couple of businesses and others, but also a representative of the government who will come to the reception as a special guest. I'm really hoping to hear from anyone. I'm really hoping to hear from anyone who's willing to make that additional stopover in Tokyo, so that we can try. We need to provide brief bios of everyone from the BC who's coming so that we can have those translated.
Okay. Thank you very much, Mei Ling. This is still Jensen. I don't know if there's any question, but let me also note that part of the preparation, We have an outreach usual newsletter ready, and there is a fact sheet, usual fact sheet being updated, and we'll be getting it translated to Japanese by staff so that it will also be printed as well as part of the materials for the outreach. So I think we could have that list together by next week or so, so that we can have a group of members that want to be at Tokyo outreach for group information flow. We could have a list for that, so that information can readily be passed across to those members that will be in Tokyo. So by next week, I hope we can begin that list to be able to share information to those concerned. Next is, well, I want to use the opportunity to appreciate ICANN staff for all the support they've been giving to the committee, outreach committee, and this in general towards this Tokyo event. We really appreciate the intervention they've made so far. Next on the agenda, with regard to my section, is with the budget, the draft ICANN FY20 budget. It's under review or consideration by the Finance Committee, and we'll have a draft by the next call. But in 2 days' time, we'll be filing additional budget requests. Yes, I mentioned the budget requests at the last meeting, but I'll just go over them again, just for us to be reminded about what we are putting in. We're putting in our usual DC Leadership Development funding support. The DC Leadership Development funding encourages potential leaders to be at ICANN meeting as part of strategy to get to know how DC works at our live meetings, and then be encouraged to be part of leadership of the DC. So we have a number of our members benefiting from this leadership development funding during ICANN 64. Though we are adjusting, we are proposing that it should be adjusted so that it is not restricted to the ICANN meeting region. Because so far, I think the last 2 years been restricted to ICANN meeting region, such that we have missed the utilization of some of this funding. Because like in Europe, for example, in ICANN 63, there was no application to use it. And in such a situation, we could get potential leaders from Latin America or Africa that could benefit using this funding. Then the next request to be submitting is on continual support for outreach materials. As many of you know, this ICANN prints our newsletters. We do the design, but ICANN does the printing. So we need to make that clear request for you to continue. Then also, we are putting in for IGF 2019 workshop and engagement. We do believe that there's a lot of dynamic activities in organizations outside ICANN, which their remit also have some connection with ICANN. So as business users of the internet, I think our voice needs to be visible at that global platform wherein we are discussing the issue of the GDPR and many other governments coming up to raise such restriction as well or regulation. And there's increasing cases of internet shutdown, so, and this has some effect on business. So our voices need to be heard loudly at such platforms. So we're putting a request to enable some of our officers to organize a workshop. And if the workshop turns out not to be approved, we can have a day zero, for our platform, for our voices to be heard at that global conference forum. Then the last one is with regard to what Barbara mentioned, planning for CSG DACA luncheon. Though it may not start during ICANN 65, because ICANN 65 will still be within FY 19. So we'll be looking into ICANN 66, 67. So the request will be applying for meetings during ICANN 65 and ICANN 66, 67. We skipped the NCPH intersessional this year based on our request. You can recall that BC actually made the position clear that we will prefer that the funding for the non-contracted partner house intersessional be rather used to strengthen the fellowship and the club and other important community funding in view of financial constraints expressed, and we also see in ICANN in the preceding year. But we will, based on the plan, we will support intersectional coming up the next year. So that will be coming into the draft, into our comment, the budget, FY20 budget comment, the statement of the NCPH intersessional. The same way, the crop was halved this year, so perhaps we also put in that the crop be increased to summer level in FY20. So we expect those two comments on SCPH and crop to be embedded in the DC FY20 comments for the budget, ICANN budget. Okay, so that is it for me for now. As I said, we'll be filing the additional budget request by Friday, and we'll be able to focus on other items of budgetary comments subsequently. So if there is no question, I will just send it back to Claudia, the chair, for the rest of the meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Jimson. Claudia, we may have lost you on the line.
I'm sorry. I was talking.
Are there any other?
I was on mute. Yeah, sorry. I was on mute. So, no, I was just saying that basically if there are other questions and the members would like to bring forward before we close the meeting, I'm not on the Adobe, so I'm not able to see if there are hands up, but please speak up in case. If not,
stop, Claudia.
That is the, yeah. Okay, perfect. So we can adjourn the meeting, and our next meeting will be on the 7th of February, if I'm not mistaken, and we will talk then. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining, and Chantal, we can adjourn the meeting.
Thank you, operator. Thank you, Claudia. Operator, you may now stop the recording.